This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We all have passions that drive us. And since 1934, Fram's driving passion has been focused on protecting your vehicle. Fram's premium industry-leading filters are designed to optimize your vehicle's performance and keep the air you breathe clean. Whether it's an oil, engine, or cabin air filter, Fram keeps you moving forward with innovative filtration technology designed for what drives you. So find your passion, and we'll make sure you get there with confidence. Visit Fram.com for more info and retailers near you.
Jake and Amir, two Jews that you can't forget. In 2010, they were big on the internet. And all things considered, their success is more than fair. Now here's one more effort for only positive motivations, they swear.
Segment.
Another podcast.
Segment.
Each app different from the last.
Segment.
Swiss Army Knife of Shows.
Now
it's your two emphatic hosts.
The more we do the arms straight up in the air thing, the more I want to do a live show. I just want to come out to the theme song and hope to God
so it plays
that everyone does this dumb
It should
dance.
Play before we come out.
Yeah. Well, we
and
should...
then when we come out, we're like this.
Right. It comes, it, we come out right as the arms all go up. It'd be amazing.
Nobody else is doing it.
It'd be amazing if three people were doing it. You and I included.
And one person, one fan in the crowd.
That's
and
right.
A bunch of people who were there by accident.
Exactly. That's the dream.
We're finally back at our remote recording. God, I was so sick of these like in-person, awkward, he said, he said bullshit style
I hate
sessions.
Seeing you. The energy is weird when we're together. It's better when there's a little bit of a delay. Do you know what I mean?
A little bit of a delay. And then like also our attention is focused on like, is this recording? Is this rolling? Like, let me hit record. Oh, shit. Did we sync? Wait, someone's calling me. That messed up the recording.
Sometimes like, normally I go on like do not disturb. But this week I'm just feeling like I don't mind being disturbed. So I have Slack popping off. Texts are going crazy.
Yeah.
I'm refreshing email. Yeah. I started doing stocks, so I'm like day
trading.
Someone's
at my door,
yeah.
So like, I have to leave for a second, like
right.
1 second.
So someone's at my door. It's the IRS because I haven't been talking.
Yeah.
Like I haven't like paid my capital gains. You know?
Yeah, taxes.
So I'm gonna
yeah.
get capitally punished for that.
Right. You'll get thrown into debtor's prison for that.
Yeah.
You know, you could extend your tax deadline and just pay in October if you wanted. I found that out recently.
Yeah, but you still have to pay something. Like, you don't get to... I don't know. I think I, like, tried to do this. It's not like you can defer payment till October. It's like you need to pay what you think you owe, and then you can actually do the
return.
And
then we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
They won't ask you for the math.
Right, which is... I mean, that's fine, but it's still not great. I mean, the goat would be to get out of paying them, you know?
That would be incredible. Just a straight up no-go situation.
Yeah. You know what? Sorry, government. I just didn't have my shit together this year. So April came and went. I didn't. How about an IOU? IOU, say, a few thousand bucks.
It's funny. I'm pretty high on the understanding math things scale, and I'm still just like when I talk to an accountant, they're like, so yeah, you want to do the estimated, but make sure that it's offset by this. And like, do you remember how many miles you drove and like what percentage? Mm-hmm. Because like technically, if it's an LLC, I'm just like, I don't know anything you're saying.
See, I think I'm actually
like a math brain.
You're a math brain.
So like what happens to people who don't know?
Well, I'll tell you the interesting thing. I as I've gotten, let's say, wiser, I feel like I understand taxes a lot more, and I actually think it requires a creative brain. So I have a newfound respect for my father.
Oh, so it's not math at all.
It's, I mean, it's, there's definitely math, but I don't think that's what the hard part of it is. You have to, there's a lot of like rules that have to work together that can help you get out. You have to find those loopholes. You have to make the system work for you. So it's, I don't know. I think I've gotten better at understanding taxes. As
I wish we had a normal job where we get one sheet of paper and we're like, here we go, and this is how much you owe, and that's it for taxes this year.
That's what Ted Cruz said. He wants, like, he wants your, you to file your tax returns gigs on a postcard. But I'll tell you what, I actually, I like the coverage that I get from the taxes being very complicated. No one wants to go in there. No one wants to check my math. No one wants to find out the truth.
So you're saying they're so complicated. They're so complicated that you won't get audited because even the IRS doesn't get your
Trump
taxes.
Style.
It's too convoluted.
I mean, I think I don't necessarily want that, but I think I can see the benefit now of taxes. Actually, it's good that they're complicated. I can shelter myself in there. I can hide among the weeds.
You can evade.
Yes.
In the reeds. Until the IRS listens to this podcast and suddenly it's a not just a beige flag, but a red flag. Yeah.
Well, I want to pay my taxes. I want to pay my fair share. I just want to get out of them in a way that's fair as well. If the billionaires are doing it, then I should be able to do it as well.
Yes, we want the same exact situation as your Gateses, as your Trumps, as your Jobses. Yes.
I recently looked into if I could, like, what it would take for me to not have to pay taxes. Like, could I just get a condo in the Cayman Islands?
Could you just not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we know about, like, that, like, vaguely, like, I have a shelter in the Cayman Islands. But, like, what does that mean?
I think you have to have a lot of money to make that work for you. Because when I looked into it, it was like, you have to live outside of the U.S. for 300 days a year. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. I really hate to be away from everything.
I'll pay 30% then.
That's fine.
I'll stick around.
I actually love the fire department, okay? I like roads. They're nice. They're nice to drive on. Infrastructure is good. Take my cash.
I'll give 50% of my paycheck if it means that the public schools around me are decent.
Yeah.
Speaking of boring weekends, you wanted to start... we should say this is the segments podcast. Yeah. Podcast constantly changing each segment. As we said in the theme song, different from the last. You wanted to start with a weekend recap.
Yes, my segment idea is called Who Won the Weekend, wherein you and I recap our weekends and we decide who had a better weekend, whose 48 hours were actually sublime and whose were subprime.
Which brings you back to the investments you made and the taxes you
owe. Right. Which is why I had such a bad weekend. But you also then said that you had a pretty boring weekend. So it seems like I might just walk away with it.
Yeah, my weekend was like watching basketball on Friday, going to a friend's party on Saturday, and playing tennis on Sunday.
That's a great weekend. Like it was, but that sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. It was relaxing. Pitch it was fine, but nothing super happened.
Well, the Friday was great because you're rooting for the Mavs over the Celtics. Let's not talk about how the Celtics eventually won. That was until Monday.
That's a different part of the week. Yeah, not my problem.
Yeah, we should say this is for June 15th because this is going to come out in 2 weeks. So this is the weekend of June 15th.
This is Father's Day weekend.
So Friday, the team you were rooting for won at a basketball. That's great.
Won a basketball game. Watched it at a sports bar. Enjoyed it. There were Celtics fans there. So that was a nice thing to see. Mm-hmm. Sort of
nice
disappointed right before.
Saturday.
Again, they did win a championship the
but
next
you didn't
day.
See them on Monday, so that's fine.
No. Saturday was... my friend Josh Heller's wife's birthday, which was at a bar in Glendale, went there, ate some food, ate some wings, ate some fries, ate some Brussels sprouts.
Nice. Was this like, hold on.
Yeah.
I have a question. Okay. When you talk about Brussels sprouts and fries, is it family style or did you sit and enjoy your meal personal pizza pie style?
It was family style, but I wasn't about to share with my siblings.
Yeah. Okay.
So like everybody else was doing a family style. So is it like a buffet?
It's all at a table.
But they looked at my Brussels sprouts and I would slap their wrist.
Yes.
I would stab their thigh.
Yes.
I would shoo them. I would eat at a different table until I was done.
Yes. You're still wearing your Mavericks jersey from the night before.
Yes. I'm wearing a Maxi Kleber shirtsy, six sizes too small. Mm-hmm. No, it was family style, but I'm not sharing with everyone. I'm sharing with like the people at my table.
Okay. Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. A mini family, a smaller family.
And then there was a tennis, you say? Did you win?
Yeah, there was some tennis to be had on Sunday, which was fun to have. It was fun to play. It was good. I'm realizing I'm not necessarily getting better unless I take lessons and like practice shots that I don't normally like try to take in these practice sets that I play. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've plateaued to the point where actually you gave me tennis lessons for my birthday a year and a half ago.
That's right.
And I never set a time with this guy. So maybe I can reach out to him finally and say, you know what? I'm ready to pull the trigger.
Until then, I think he has just run away with my money unless I just made the introduction and I was going to give him the money when you scheduled the lesson, and I haven't given him any money. I'll have to look at my Venmo.
So you didn't give me a gift?
Well, I did.
You did not give me a gift.
I did. I gave you the guarantee.
You did not give me a gift.
I did. I locked
it.
I gave you the access.
You gave me a bill that was to be paid in kind, in good faith. You wrote that off as a tax write-off.
It was a loss.
That was never a bill paid.
That was.
It was not money in, and it was not money out.
That was a passive loss.
It was not life.
Because it was an opportunity cost. I didn't invest that money, which could have grown. So that is a loss.
It was a depreciating asset.
That's right.
Because that guy is now worse at tennis.
Yes.
And the inflation means that your gift in 2023 was actually worth less than it is now. You owe me / Uncle Sam $154 per hour.
Wow.
Not $150 anymore.
Okay. Fine. Fine. Or what? Windbreakers?
We got him.
Here he is.
He's $700 shy.
Kicking the door. Okay. So but you didn't play tennis with an instructor this weekend. That was just with somebody.
Yeah, with a friend who's, you know, equally bad. So we had fun, but we weren't necessarily good at tennis.
Well, that's kind of nice, though. You had the realization that you need to level up, to take a clinic.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And you think you'll do that?
No, probably not, because that requires effort. It requires finding an extra hour to play and an extra time. And then I'm like, you know, actually like being put my feet to the fire where like he's giving me instructions and I play like not necessarily the way I want to play, which is constantly slicing things back with trick shots.
Yeah.
But he's going to teach me how to hit a top spin forehand.
Get the racket back.
It's going to require
small
getting
steps,
worse before
approach,
it gets
turn
better.
To the side. Yeah. For
it's
sure.
Like, I don't want a trainer. I just throw me into a gym. And
I just like beating my pal. Let me keep on doing that.
Exactly. Yes. Don't make me work for it.
Okay. So my weekend, let me tell you everything. It started with a curveball. Would you like to hear about it?
Actually, we're probably out of time.
Okay, so we'll just say that I won it. Let's go back to taxes. So your 540 EST, the second quarterly payment, just came up. I'm curious what you did re-California, re-fed.
You had a refund in 2022, and it was paid forward.
Yes.
Estimated, down paid.
Let me see your franchise tax board. Go to FTB.com.
Yeah, that's the best part. It's like every 6 months I get a letter from whatever, New York. Oh, the LLC you created 11 years ago, you owe us, I don't know, $790.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Okay. Do I have to fucking look this up, or can I write you a check?
And then we talk to our accountant, and she's like, no, I think you guys paid that. So then I have to like call Sacramento for 9 weeks because they don't answer the phone. You get like,
and at that point it's delayed, and you owe penalty.
Right. Then you get another one. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago. I like, it was so many weeks I couldn't talk to anyone. Eventually I had to like, I got through to someone who wasn't in the right department, but I was like, please don't hang up. And they gave me a fax number. This is 2022. I faxed I had to print something out at my parents' house and have my dad fax it from work. It was insane. Yeah.
This is why I often blindly pay things, so I don't have to deal with fax machines.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Okay, so we
anyway.
Yeah, Jill and I are invited to a wedding for her family friend.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Curveball.
Yeah, this wedding is in San Francisco, actually in Sonoma. So we're going to fly to San Francisco. Six wow. months ago, we gamed this whole thing out because we're like, okay, well, we want to go to this wedding. We don't have somebody to babysit Gemma while we're there. Jill's parents are right. also invited. So like we couldn't go with them and have them watch her. We didn't want to like, I don't think we had a nanny at the time, but we also don't want to like fly her across the country just to have her babysit. So my parents have a friend in Palo Alto. They're going to go and visit them. So I'm like, okay, this is perfect. You guys come to Sonoma for the weekend. We'll all spend the weekend together. The in-laws, my parents, Jill, Gemma, they can watch Gemma while we go to the wedding. Everything is perfect. We book an Airbnb for all of us. I rent the car. I have, it's a black tie wedding. I've got the tux. Jill gets a dress. She gets it altered. Friday.
This is all for last weekend.
Yeah, this is all for this past weekend. Thursday afternoon, I'm recording an episode of NADPOD. I just see a text come in that says, my dad has COVID. So.
Which dad? Oh, your dad.
Yeah, my dad. Yeah, Sam. Sammy has COVID.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And sort of like, okay, my mom, she's like, I feel fine. Should I go? And we're like, no, because you'll probably have it by the time we're, and then we're just bringing it to the wedding. So we're like, you guys don't, like, just don't even worry about coming. My dad's fine. Everything is good. And then we're like, Jill and I are talking like, okay, so I think we texted like some friends that we knew in San Francisco, texted my cousin, seeing who's, if anybody's around or has, knows a babysitter. I almost texted your brother and was like, who do you use for a babysitter? And would they drive an hour to Sonoma and watch my kid for this while I'm at this wedding? But then we're like, we don't want to find a brand new sitter and have them like put our daughter to bed, you know?
Yeah, unless they're an expert babysitter where they know better than you about any baby.
Right. And when it comes, and now she's like 13 months, her bedtime routine is so specific to us that like it would just be miserable to put it on.
You really have to sing this song or she won't go down.
Right. So you read Mommies Are Amazing twice, then she'll say Mo, Mo, and that means moon. She wants to read Goodnight Moon. Okay. And then you read it just until she shuts it and she's tired and then she's going to go to bed. And that, yeah. Do you know how to say cat? It's Mau Mau. You're going to have to, when you get to the page with the cat. So yeah, not.
Would Gemma be like, this isn't my parents, I'm not going to bed? Or you think she'd be like, whatever, this is fine, I'm sleepy anyway.
She would be stressed. She would be like, this is different. She wouldn't really be thinking about me. She would be saying mama over and over. She's like, where the fuck is Jillian? Because she says, where the fuck is
this
Jillian?
Is a trap.
When I put her to bed. So if it's a total stranger, absolutely fucked.
They have no chance.
No. So then we're like, all right, well, we're all going to go and just, I won't go to the wedding because these are family friends of Jill and her parents. I'm just going to, I'll go and I'll babysit Gemma.
You're going to be the babysitter.
Yeah. And then we're like packing. It's like 9 p.m. We're leaving at 9 a.m. the next day. And Jill is like, wait, why are we even going to make you fly across the country with Gemma just so you can babysit her while I go to a wedding? I'm like, oh yeah, we'll just.
Yeah, that was my first question.
Right. And we just were so like on autopilot, like we're going to California. So then we're like, okay, you're staying here with Gemma. Jill's going to go to this wedding. And then Jill starts like packing all of the snacks for me to feed Gemma all weekend. She starts like overthinking like Gemma's schedule. She's like, all right, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. And she's going to be sad. She's going to ask for this and whatever. And then it's like 11 p.m. And I'm like, if you're going to be stressed and miserable all weekend, why don't you not go?
And I'll go to the wedding. No you one, stay here with Gemma.
We had these like perfect conditions to go to California. And now it's all fucked. Why are we still trying to do it? We have a great excuse.
So your dad getting COVID which was half of a babysitter for like just 4 hours of the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Threw everything off.
It was,
off
it was so flimsy.
Your mom's not going, he's not going, yeah. You're not going, Jill's not going, Gemma's not. Yeah. Five people.
It was a house of cards. And now nobody, and now only Jill's parents are going to a 4-bedroom Airbnb in Sonoma, which they texted and they're like, it's lovely.
What do you tell the wedding person who's getting married? You're like, hey, sorry, Jake's dad has COVID, so we're not coming.
I think we had dinner with them in the last few months, so they knew how, like, you know, flimsy this whole plan was.
Touch and go.
Right. Yeah. Or like they knew how much we had put together to make it happen. So I think when we said that, you know, Jill sent a long text explaining everything and also saying sorry and wishing them the best and whatever. And we're going to see them soon. And I mean, when you have a wedding, there, it looked like it was gorgeous. So you have a million other things happening. When you get a text from
us, they didn't care that much.
They're like, oh, whatever. But I mean, they were very friendly. But yeah, I don't think it affected them.
They were understanding.
Yeah, yeah, they got it. They got it. And then it was just weird. We like had this kind of like borrowed time weekend, and it was great.
Well, it was Father's Day. Technically, your second Father's Day.
Yeah, Father's Day number two. Let's see. What if I went surfing. Jill let me have the morning to go surfing with Micah. I came back, she made breakfast, and then we went, oh yeah, then we walked to the park. Gemma's obsessed with water, so we like went to the fountains at Domino Park, and I ran through the water with her. And
then are you relieved that the wedding didn't happen?
I was like, no, I was like sad because we were looking forward to it. And it was like, we never like dress up or anything. And like Jill got a great dress and I was like going to wear my tux that I got for Carnegie Hall. So I was like kind of excited. And also it would have been really nice to be in California with my parents. But I guess like.
It was really cute that you guys like still dressed up on that Saturday. And like, you guys like made like a wedding at home style dinner where it's like, let me cook you dinner. And like you dress in the dress.
Two crazy things about it. Like, or actually one crazy thing about it. But first of all, to answer your question, I think like as soon as as my parents got taken out of the equation and the weekend was going to be really hard, then I was happy that we made the decision to make it easy. I wasn't like, so I was like sad that we missed the wedding, but I was like happy that we didn't overextend. And also us canceling meant that we were around on Friday night, which was Amanda Ferry's wedding. So we were able to last minute go to that. So we got a wedding.
We went to a wedding.
Yeah. the wedding was always going to happen.
Whether it was going to be here or there.
Yeah. So that was perfect.
Awesome. I think I won.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't have the COVID scare, the tuxedo rental issue.
That wasn't
and
rental,
then the tuxedo, but yeah. The park thing seemed kind of...
The park was really nice.
Boring.
Way like, better to play
I know
tennis.
She likes...
Yeah, she likes water, but I like tennis.
She likes water, but that's fine. Yeah. And I like totals. So like, I feel like that's right. A wash.
Yeah.
So okay. Overall...
We'll call it a draw. Call it a draw.
Yeah. The WeCap Recap.
Nice. Nice.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Hugely helpful sponsor. That's right. They save you cash.
Exactly. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions, and it monitors your spending, helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
I used it. I loved it. I actually used it before they even sponsored this podcast.
That's always a good feeling when you know you don't even have to lie about using it because you already have.
That's right. I was just curious how many things I was signed up for. It wasn't even about the money. And? I was like... How many services do I have, even if I'm not paying for them? I just want to see what even the free trials. I just want to see everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they do an audit.
Yeah.
And
I was spending $11 million a year subscribed to one of the most expensive and exclusive OnlyFans around. That's right.
A rare metals dealer was taking close to $2.5 million off of me per quarter and sending me a gem or rare precious metal in the mail. And I totally forgot to cancel.
And it was a P.O. box. I don't even know where those ended up.
It's not just Jake. Rocket Money has over 5 million users, saving a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Gorgeous.
So they're saving members up to $740 a year when they use all of the app's features.
Exactly.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions today.
That's right.
By going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Damn right.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. This episode is brought to you by Reslayer's Take.
That's right.
So if you're looking for a new all-ages tabletop role-playing adventure, check out Critical Role's latest podcast, The Reslayer's Take.
Very nice.
It takes place in the fantasy world of Critical Role, Exandria, of course.
Of course.
You'll be guided through the wild continent of Isildria, of course.
Nice.
Home to some of the most dangerous creatures here. The Slayer's Take is the most notorious monster hunting the group in the realm, but when this group is previously slain creatures start returning from the grave, it's up to 6 misfit mercenaries to band together and re-slay these supernatural threats as the Re-Slayer's Take.
What do you think, Amir? Are you ready to play D&D?
Well, this feels very dense, but I think fans of Critical Role and D&D in general will be really into it.
Yes.
The special actual play podcast is lovingly edited into 30 to 60 minute episodes.
Perfect.
Making it the perfect first dip into the world of tabletop role-playing games. The party is led by a duo of game masters, George Primavera and Nick Williams. Mm. And the main cast includes Jasmine Bular, Jasper William Cartwright, Caroline Lux, and Jasmine Xiong.
Love it.
So go check out the Reslayer's Take and listen to new episodes every Monday, anywhere you stream podcasts.
Right on.
Losers. All right, we're back.
Yes,
This is a game we played. I don't remember what we called it, but it was me showing you old photos of you, and you had to guess where you were and what date it was taken.
That's right. That's right. And I think I might not know the dates for all of these, but you can just kind of guess where they were. And I vaguely remember the dates.
You have like a photographic memory about this kind of stuff that I do not have. Like you remember haircuts and shirts you had in specific episode and all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm a visual learner.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm strictly mustache based, which is why when I see this first photo of me, I know that it's from my hashtag mustache era.
Yeah. You didn't have many different eras for your looks. I don't think you changed them up as much as I did, but you did have one distinct mustache era.
Yes. And it was in 2015. And I think this photo is from Berlin.
Ding, ding, ding. The Croix boys.
The Croix boys. Yes. We had you, your brother, Pat Castles, and Marty and me went to Berlin and stayed in Kreuzberg. We called ourselves the Croix boys.
Yeah. We had a great time. Didn't we? There was a DJ.
What do you remember most?
I remember there was a place. I think it was called White Trash Fast Food, maybe. It was called White Trash.
An American restaurant in Berlin.
Yeah.
It was White Trash Fast Food.
And we heard that it was good. We ate there the first night. I think we like met the owner and we loved it. We loved her. And I think we went back like 3 times, unless we went back just the second time. I also remember we watched Edge of Tomorrow twice because it's kind of a great movie to watch when you're hungover.
Yeah. I remember our schedule was that where we would go out at like midnight or 1, like very European style, to the point where like it was 8 or 9 p.m., like the sunset, we were like after lunch, like at home chilling. We were watching a movie, but like the goal was to like take a nap then and then go out later. I'm like, this doesn't feel healthy.
Yeah.
Like this is not how bodies should go. Like we should be watching this movie, falling asleep for the night, but we would watch the movie, take a nap after it had already been dark so that we can go out at midnight.
Yeah. It also resulted in us, I think this is the only night we hung out with Pat. Like,
Because he was not on that crazy schedule. Right.
He kept a normal schedule. We kind of like slept and laid around all day. Sometimes we went to a museum, but then like we were mostly active from like 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. We were nocturnal.
There was also a morning where we couldn't reach Pat. We went to a museum and we were like, did he get abducted on his way back to his Airbnb? Like, we haven't heard from him last night or into this morning. And now it's like 2 p.m. And he had like, I guess, had jet lag and slept for like 16 hours or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we didn't get to see him a ton. I also remember the first night we were there, we're like, all right, let's take it easy. Let's just, yeah, I think it was like a Tuesday or something. Like, we'll just go see what this bar is all about. And we like walked into a club that was like half indoor, half outdoor. It was like not very busy at all. And the bouncer just wouldn't let us in. And we like laughed because we thought he was making a joke. Like, you know, like when you're the first person in the bar and he says it's full. But he like genuinely didn't let us in. We're like, wow, is this going to be hard to party? But we eventually, I forget the
name.
Are
we too American?
We found this awesome DJ that we loved and we just like, kind of looked where he was going. He played like mid-2000s hip hop, which is all we wanted to hear.
Yeah.
This
was also the trip where I couldn't get into Burgein, which was a famous club in Berlin.
That's right. We also saw a football match, which I think I probably would have appreciated so much more. Like now, I don't even know who we saw play.
Yeah, it was like a FC Berlin or some like random German Bundesliga team.
Yeah. All right. Let's see the next picture.
That is from, I'm standing next to a naked person that you cut out, right? Or at least a dummy. Is this from the AMPM Tumgus shoot?
Too much good stuff. That's correct.
Yes. This is one of our last branded content deals at College Humor. It was me and you doing AMPM sponsored content.
Yeah.
That was very ill-advised. I hardly remember what the theme was. I do remember they were launching a mascot named Tumgus, which stood for TMGS, aka Too Much Good Stuff.
Yeah. The only thing I remember from this is that like the copy was so like it was like an AI wrote in our voice, except like a little dumber. It was so,
yeah,
it was halfway us and like halfway just incredibly branded and also just like seemingly a little bit lazy. Like the first idea was just
what happens sometimes where it's like, oh yeah, we got like our ad copywriter is a huge fan and he wrote in your voices and we sold it. And we're like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. And this one, Amir stands next to a naked cutout of himself. And Jake says, what the hell is wrong with you, bro?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. Can I have $8,000 for today yet?
Yeah. I guess it was just like a lack of, there was no subversion. I feel like what Jake and Amir did was like, we took that and then tried to subvert it in our own way. And in the branded stuff, it was just like, no, because the only way you could subvert it was by adding Tumgus. It needed to be surfaced.
The most like funny / soul crushing part is when like the clients were on set and like we would do something terrible and they're like, that was really good.
Oh,
we really liked that.
Yeah. You said
the client loved it.
Yeah. They're going crazy in Video Village. All right. Whatever. Okay. Next photo. It's not working.
Oh, this was also around 2015, I think. This is also...
Yeah, definitely.
Berlin 2014, this 2015.
All right, okay. Next photo.
Ooh, this is one I don't recognize. That's a leg. I'm holding a leg. I wonder. Am I giving someone a piggyback ride? This looks like when we first moved to L.A., and is that a leg or a hand? That's such a thick, hairy appendage.
Yeah, I was really proud of this crop.
I look like a little Galian boy.
Is this filtered at all? No, but I think just the angle of your face, you're like leaning forward a little bit. You look so tiny and young.
I look like Theodore Leslie.
Yeah. You look kind of hot. You look good.
Again, LA, I would guess that I think that arm belongs to Giancarlo, and I don't know why, but that's what I'll say. Sometime in LA, sometime in 2015, and sometime with Giancarlo, but maybe that's not his leg or arm.
2015 is correct. the arm is incorrect. It is a leg, and it is not in LA. It's in Australia.
Yes, this makes more sense. Yes. This is the free shipment.
That is the foot of Josh Lefferts, who got a tattoo of your face on stage live in Brisbane?
You would think this would be a more seminal moment in my life. Some guy got a tattoo of my face on his foot, and this is a picture.
During a live show.
I don't really remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also remember me having a long beard in Australia, but maybe
that was the second time. That was the second time.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right.
Yeah, this is... We went on tour with these two Australian comedians called the Free Shitmen, who were fucking insane party animals, and they would do insane stuff on stage. Like, for example, get tattoos, as they called it.
Yeah. The other member of the Free Shit Men is a tattoo of my face. I believe
it's on
his
quad.
And he
was the more normal one.
I love Steve.
Yeah.
Next photo.
This looks like a still slash maybe a picture you took on set of one of the Lonely and Horny episodes. That's the house.
Great.
From Lonely and Horny.
Great guess. You'd recognize that wallpaper anywhere. That is
there
Ruby Jade's bedroom in Lonely and Horny, which I believe I said this on pod, but I recognized a porn one time I saw like on X videos, full-on porn being shot in this exact room.
It's a photogenic house. And I also, when Matt Rife, comedian, like TikTok comedian Matt Rife, announced his tour, he did like a video with him and Ashton Kutcher. Mm. And it was also at this house.
Oh, wow.
You can see that on Instagram. It's like him doing a lap in the pool where we shot.
That's amazing. We should have had Ruby Jade in the background.
Great house. House in Studio City that I guess anybody can rent out and shoot whatever they want.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
These are all from like the same year, basically. I'm always wearing those same glasses.
Yeah. Let's see if we can jump ahead in time with the next photo.
This is cold. This is either Canada or Iceland. Pharmacy. Interesting. English pharmacy. I feel like I'm playing that GeoGuessr game.
That's right.
All right. You can see the trees in the background. Those are evergreens. That's Vermont. Yes. Yeah.
This architecture, the wood paneling above the pharmacy. This little boy wearing
Iceland.
Yellow rain boots. That's
even though it says pharmacy, I'll guess Iceland and your bachelor party.
That is actually not even close. It's so far away. This is New Zealand. This is...
I see.
Arrowtown.
It was cold.
It was cold because we went there in, I think it was June or July of 2016.
Dead of their winter.
Yeah, 2016, right?
Wait, what town?
I believe it was called Arrowtown. It was like where they shot the opening of Lord of the Rings.
Is this right before we took the helicopter trip?
Exactly. We took the helicopter trip like 15 minutes from here.
This was a crazy trip because it was a podcast branded sponsorship that our friend sold to like Marty, and it's like, well, Jake and Amir go on vacation with me.
Yeah.
The lady that sold this thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll just take videos and pictures and stuff. And we're like, okay, sure. We'll take a free trip to New Zealand.
Yeah.
It was for New Zealand Air or something.
Yeah. Air New Zealand. We went, do you remember we went to like the Air New Zealand headquarters, like near LAX? I think it was either a pitch
they showed
or a pre-production.
Us the chairs.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, all you have to do is like take photos, make Snapchats. That was like what the whole trip was. It's like when you're there, post on Snapchat, post on, I think we did a Facebook Live or posted a video on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's just like social posts when they meant so little. And it was
the dead of their winter. Oh yeah, they were debuting a new style of chair on their flights.
Yeah.
That allowed you to like turn your three seats of coach into a bed.
It
like
was
an
called,
air bed.
Yeah, it was called the Sky Couch. And
Sky Couch.
And it was basically,
I wonder if they still do that.
I think I looked at it recently. But yeah, it was like you would just get a whole row of three seats and like the legs on them came up and you basically turned it into a bed. And I remember they offered, they were like, you can fly down on the Sky Couch or you can fly down in business. You can't fly down in first class. And we're like, okay, so the full lie down seat was off the table, and business was just like a pretty good recline or the sky couch,
right,
which was full lie down. And we didn't trust it.
Even did we do it?
No, we did business. And
we're like, we're not doing the sky couch.
Yeah. And then once we got to New Zealand, they brought us to the Air New Zealand like corporate office where they like let us shoot content on the sky couch. They let us like test it out in their office. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really comfortable. And we were like, we should have done this.
I wonder if they kept that. Yeah.
I kind of doubt it because like at a certain point, they're just like, no, we can get more money for three seats. Like, but who knows?
This is also when we did the world's longest bungee, or not bungee.
Yeah, the world's tallest.
It was the world's tallest
swing,
bungee,
but we were
then
afraid.
We did the world's tallest swing.
Yeah, yeah,
because we were too afraid to do the bungee.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, we're not doing the bungee.
But they're fucking crazy at that swing. They're like, well, we can do you upside down, or like you guys can 69, or we can put a bag over your head and kick you off like a chair.
It's
we're
like I barely want to
just
do
regular,
it,
I guess. It's already the world's largest swing. I don't need an extra little bit of thrill.
And do you remember what he said as soon as, so we got strapped into the swing. We didn't even want to go. We were strapped into the swing. As soon as we like get our legs hanging over just air below us, he was like, so you guys like pranks, right? And I was like, no, that's not me, that's another guy, I'm not the prank guy.
Oh yeah, they keep doing fake outs like 3, 2, 1. Nah, just kidding.
Yeah,
and then he would just drop you.
I think that's what they're just like, three, and then he dropped us.
It was a very like visceral memory that I'll never forget, this world's largest swing. I remember being kind of sick and it just like completely erased all of that.
Yeah, it was so, there was just, all I remember is just like the sound, like you just hear air going by you, you're falling so fast.
I mean, you're over a gorge and they just drop you. It's the equivalent of like convincing your brain and body you're about to die.
Yeah, exactly. But it was awesome. I mean, once we were done, I'm glad. I don't think I could have done. The thing is, with bungee jumping, they make you have to jump yourself. The swing was, at least we could do it because we had no control. It was like, you get strapped in when you're standing on solid ground.
They
like,
put you in a diaper.
Yeah. But like, if they just tied a bungee cord around my feet and they're like, all right, dive. Remember to dive head first. I'd be like, I literally can't will my body to do that.
It wants to live too much.
And it also, like the trip was like borderline ruined because we were doing this swing at the end, and the entire time there was like a debate about, are we going to bungee or will we swing? Because the bungee is cooler but scarier. The swing is safer but a little lamer. And we're like, we should bungee. No, we should swing. I'm too afraid to bungee. And it was just like, it was hanging over us the entire time. And it was also such a part
of, and then you take this bus up a fucking mountain. You're like, it's like the part of a roller coaster you're going up. You're like, this is too much tension. I can't handle it. Get me out of here.
And then I think that maybe that's when we decided to do the swing, which means we're deciding up until the last possible second. All right. So good trip. Next photo.
Do you remember the name of the swing real quick?
God, no. Just the world's largest swing, Queenstown, New Zealand. Do you remember?
I believe it's the Nevis, N-E-V-I-S.
Yes.
Nevis swing.
Nevis.
This was my favorite shirt.
I remember. It was a
and
great shirt.
I don't
shirt.
Know what happened to it.
I wore it sometimes.
It was a great shirt. This is in New Orleans or Vegas. It was a fun trip, and I can't tell if it was New Orleans or Vegas, but it was a... I'll say my 30th birthday in Vegas, even though it might be the road trip with John and Giancarlo in New Orleans.
This was New Orleans, the road trip with John and Giancarlo.
Standing next to a horse cop.
Yes, you and a horse cop. And yeah. I think it was, it actually might not have been the road trip. I think this might have been Giancarlo's bachelor party.
Wow. I remember that. It was a very fun weekend, but it was the hottest I have ever been in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was like 100 degrees at night level humidity.
Yeah.
Where like during the day in the sun, it would literally burn and melt you. Like we couldn't even be outside.
Yeah. So hot, so humid, just like walking anywhere hungover. It was insanely hot. But good old time. Shout out to John Grimm editing this because he was there. Man of the match for me, actually. All right, next photo.
Oh, I know this one. This is in Dublin, me, you, and Ben on some sort of ship.
Good. Very good. Do you remember who took it?
Yeah. Jesse, I think.
That's correct. Jesse Aaron. Last photo.
This might be Kyobi. Wow. This is me. Is this the second Australia? Because I got a long beard going on.
That's correct.
Yes, me and Streeter in Australia. Australia was fun.
Australia was great. And I also like totally had forgotten that we went to New Zealand a second time, me, you, and Streeter. And I remember we tried to do all of the stuff that we did during our like all expense paid trip to New Zealand, and we realized it was insanely expensive. We're like,
we'll do the helicopter.
And then we like saw the prices. We're like, oh geez, we can't do that. Should we go on the swing? Oh god, that's pretty expensive. Let's just get an Airbnb. Yeah, we're gonna get an Airbnb and drink at the hostel.
Didn't we go to New Zealand because we were going to go somewhere else, but there was a hurricane or something?
Yeah, we were planning on going to Byron Bay in Australia after our Australia tour. And then it was like monsoon or wet season. It was just like a week straight of storms. And we're like, we should pivot. And we went
to New
Zealand. We
flew to New Zealand instead.
Yeah, on a whim.
No regrets.
An absolute whim. Yeah. It was awesome. We had that sick Airbnb over the lake. We like got whiskey and cigars and just sat in the hot tub all night.
Even though we weren't rich, we acted like we were the richest we've ever been.
Even though we couldn't afford a helicopter tour, we acted like we could.
Because we split the Airbnb three ways until it became affordable.
And it was a tax write-off.
You have to know that it was an expense. We can still be audited for that trip. Probably. That's how fucked up this is. All right, that was a fun trip down memory lane.
Very nice.
That was us all over the world.
We were globetrotting. What haven't we seen, man?
Do you think we'll ever travel again? Or that's sort of a woebegone time where
together?
Kids were kids and I mean, now that we have our own lives, it feels like it's
You can come next time Jill and I are invited to a wedding, you can come and be the babysitter.
I'm not good with kids. You know I'm not good with babies. They all detest me. I release a pheromone that sort of pisses them off.
Yeah. Gemma does kind of low-key hate your ass.
I've never met a baby that didn't bite my nose.
You know that got your nose game? That's them to me.
They bit my nose, all of them.
Yeah.
Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this episode of Segments.
Woohoo, folks.
Jake, I don't know if you know this, but the best way to learn a language is immersion.
Yeah, I actually did know that.
Yes, you can live where the language is spoken and use it every day. But if that's not in the cards for you this year, because it is hard to move to Spain or Italy right now.
Right, a little bit, though I do want to.
You can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel.
That's right.
Babbel has quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Easy.
Wow. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. They have tips and tools that are approachable, accessible, and rooted in real-life situations.
You'll love to see that.
Convenient courses that teach you a new language in less than a month? I mean, that's insane.
It's perfect. Come on.
And studies from Yale, Michigan State, and others continue to prove that Babbel is better. One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is the equivalent of a full semester at college. So, Jake, maybe you can say you graduated.
Well, actually, it was fascinating that you mentioned my alma mater when you said one of those studies conducted by Yale University.
You went to Yale.
I graduated from Yale, magna cum laude.
Often. Loudly.
Yes, exactly.
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold, so it's not just us using it. There's literally a huge population, roughly the size of, I'll say, Georgia, using Babbel.
That's really good. That's really good. Can you actually speak Georgian?
I cannot.
That's absolutely amazing.
But fact check me. 16 million people is my guess. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. And if you want a special limited time offer for our listeners right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/segments.
Was your guess for Georgia the state or the country?
The state.
You said 60?
1.6 million subscriptions sold for Babbel, and that's my guess for how many people live in the state of Georgia. Yeah, 16.
Okay. You are 6 million off. There are 10 million people in Georgia.
Damn it.
But okay. Babbel's not going to make you better at math, loser.
Oh, nice. Muy bien. Yeah. Muy bien. You can get 55% off at babbel.com/segments. That's BABBEL.com/segments.
Okay.
And as always, rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, you know that.
So be a better, smarter person. Learn a new language with Babbel.
Right on.
Thanks, Babbel. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our program.
A major gracias indeed.
And a common Squarespace W.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It's an easy product that only gets easier. A website so easy to build, Jake's done it multiple times.
Many times over, actually. Many times.
They have simple drag and drop technology, so you can design without being a designer. You can code without being a coder.
You can sell. You can promote. You can do anything your little heart desires on Squarespace.
And you better believe they have AI and SEO tools.
Good. Good. Because you have to this day and age. That's a prerequisite.
That's right. You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, do you know what domain name is available for people to buy?
Have you heard of Instagram?
Yep.
Well, have you heard of Distantgram?
No, I haven't.
Instagram is something that happens in an instant, but Distantgram is something that happens from a distance. So that's for your long lenses, your landscape shots.
Distantgram. So sort of
Yeah.
Picture still, but from
right.
far
if
away.
You're a birder, for instance, and you're getting that zoom in photograph, or a voyeur, a birder or a voyeur, anything with a telescoping lens, you can post on distantgram.com,
which is available.
Yeah.
Mine's a little simpler. It's vlogvlog.com.
That's actually really good. It's like if you have a vlog.
That's because the second vlog has two G's in it.
I see. Okay. So that's actually a lot worse. A lot worse.
A little harder to describe, but it's fun to say.
Totally.
So if you want to buy vlog or distantgram.com or just a website
whatever
for
you
yourself
want.
And launch an awesome website, all you got to do is head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain using the code segments.
Segments.
Again, that's squarespace.com/segments. You save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. And when you're ready to launch, just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Indeed.
Assholes. All right. One last segment.
Okay.
This is, it's actually good. We don't have a lot of time. It's a shorty, a good one to end on. It's a tag. It's a fourth act. It's a half-baked one.
Okay.
That might steal the show or might be a nothing burger.
It was an
idea I had. Yes, exactly. It was an idea I had when I was thinking, there are certain words and phrases that I probably either don't know or don't know how to define, even though they're normal words that I hear all the time. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, maybe this is a good segment. I'll give Jake words and see if he can define them.
Okay.
Words that you probably have heard a lot before.
All right.
But you've never really stopped to think, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Either that or these are words that you definitely know the answer to. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
First one. Jake, I want you to define nougat.
Nougat. Nougat. Noun. etymology. Latin. Derived from...
etymology. Candy.
yeah, nougat. Of course. I guess it's... my mouth's getting dry. I guess it's... it's in Three Musketeers, so it's kind of like it's like a mousse, it's like a caramel. It's like let's call it a mousse. Let's call it it's a mousse.
So a nougat for you is like a mousse.
A malted mousse. Yeah.
Yeah. Close. It's a family of confections made with sugar or honey.
So it's usually this hardened log of whatever. And then there's sometimes roasted nuts, whipped egg whites, and sometimes chopped candied fruit.
Sounds delicious. Three Musketeers style. Okay. Exactly. So that's the level we're talking. All right. Give me another.
Yeah. Here's another one that's more of a phrase that I sort of always brushed to the side of my brain, but recently learned what it meant.
Okay.
Come to Jesus moment. What's a come to Jesus moment?
Come to Jesus. I guess it's like, it's a profound realization, like the equivalent of like, that's when I found Jesus. That's when my life drastically changed, when I realized this thing.
That's correct. It's a moment of sudden realization or comprehension.
Yes. Yes. And what about a come on Jesus moment?
I would give you Faustian Bargian. Come on, Jesus.
I'm just kidding.
Got it. I was saying I would give you Faustian Bargian, but that's something we've figured out on the podcast.
Yeah,
together.
I genuinely did forget what it was. Faustian Bargian. Yeah, I can't remember.
That one was like a deal with the devil or you sell your soul for something.
Okay, yeah.
And come on, Jesus, you mean like actual semen or like, come on, Jesus, let's go.
Yeah.
Like a moment where like you're telling your friend to get out of here.
Yeah, no, Jesus is late for, he's going to shoot a bukkake porn.
Existential.
A threat to your existence.
That's correct. Concerned with existence.
Okay. Okay.
An existential threat.
Yes.
All right, I got two more.
Mm-hmm.
Leverage.
That is your bargaining power. Your leverage is what lever you can pull, what kind of force you can exert. And when you have leverage, it means you have more pull. More torque,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
And that is correct for half of it. Do you know the business definition where they're like, you're over leveraged or you're under leveraged or how much leverage this company has?
Oh, I guess no, but let me venture a guess. You're over leveraged means you've borrowed more money than you can pay back.
Yeah, kind of. It's the amount of debt that you have to the value of equity of the company.
Right on.
So if you keep borrowing money, like Netflix was, where it's like, let me borrow money and not make a profit over and over and over.
Yeah. Because the value of our business is growing. And that's write-off.
Correct. And lastly, but probably leastly, kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope. Kalai. What is Kalai? I mean, we know what a kaleidoscope is. It's
yeah. How would you define it?
I guess a lot of refracting lenses that make a magical image when you put your eye to the hole. Final answer.
Yeah. I guess it's sort of, yeah, it's a tube containing mirrors. It's always a tube.
A tube.
Yeah. Yes. It's always a tube. A mirrors in a tube is a kaleidoscope.
Right. Mirrors in a tube.
Are those still popular amongst babies? Those were a big thing when I was growing up. The tubes and the mirrors and the refractions and the prisms.
We might get there. I don't think that Gemma has the patience for something like that yet, but I think it's probably close.
Yeah, because right now anything is exciting for her. It doesn't have to be like a tube of mirrors. Just like, you know, you're 13 months, like a fucking giraffe on a stick is the most amazing thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean the most exciting thing in her life right now is the vacuum cleaner. So that's where we're at, but we'll get past that, and then she'll be peering in the hose, I'm sure.
You should sit her on a Roomba for her birthday.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Imagine that come to Jesus moment for her when you can combine a vacuum cleaner and Gemma into one sort of bot.
Yeah, it would be as sweet as nougat on the day.
All right, you sort of knew all those ones, but I was hoping that they'd be a little bit harder to define.
I didn't really know Nougat.
Maybe I'll keep thinking about that plan.
Yeah, I like
it was
game.
A guess.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't really get it, I don't think. I said a moose.
Yeah.
And I meant the animal.
Yeah, moose is correct. Yeah. Wow,
it was between deer or moose. Thank God I said moose.
So you really got lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got insanely lucky. Yeah. Okay. All right. Half-baked idea at the end there.
All right. Love it.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. These are always on YouTube if you want to view us being silly in addition to listen to us.
That's true.
But thank you either way. And you can watch more of us on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja, folks.
How about that?
How about it?
We're watching Jake and Amir videos. Sometimes we're even writing Jake and Amir videos.
That's true.
Brainstorming new ideas, writing news scrolls. So you can check out all those videos. There's hundreds now at patreon.com/JA. Give someone in your life a 4th of July gift that they won't forget.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you keep wanting that free content, we'll be back, of course, every Monday until we turn 100.
Can't wait.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.